So, all right, so it goes from where you are, from the base of the slope, you can tell it goes about 30 feet, which ought to be pretty near the center of the mound. The sword is laying on the ground, so you stop there. And then there appears to be a T intersection, so there's a flat wall directly ahead. And there's some kind of rotting cloth or something on the wall at the intersection. It looks like it may have been an old, like a woven mural, like fancy rug hanging type thing. But it's pretty decayed. You can't really make out the imagery. And so at that point, you would have to go to the right or the left.
Can I just wait for them?
Yep. Okay. So as just you're about 10 feet back from the intersection because you stopped at the sword.
Yep.
So if you came around the corner, you'd have a little bit of notice or something like that. Okay. All right. So the two of you go under the portcullis and slipping down the slope. Make a dex check.
One.
Dude.
Okay. All right.
Great. I never rolled this
bad. Were you just letting the portcullis go down behind you then? You don't really have much choice unless you're going to prop it up or something. Okay. So it goes shut. You hear that kind of grating, slamming noise from before. And there is no fog in the hallway. And there's no light in the hallway because you put your mace away. So the only light in the hallway is hers, and she's 30 feet away. So you can see her, but otherwise it's pitch black darkness.
Actually, how tight is this hallway?
10 foot wide.
That's super
tight. Easy. Two people.
He'll draw his sword then.
Okay. Yep, 10 foot wide and 10 foot high.
And then I guess we're going forward.
Miller!
Okay, at that point, he draws his sword, shing, it comes clear, and then you hear behind you, Chiron says, there's a portcullis. Is it a portcullis?
Yes, you can lift it. Miller!
No answer.
Then he will, I mean, he's going to go.
Okay. Right, so I forgot what the dex checks were. What was your dex check?
One.
Yes, and what was your dex check?
Same.
All right, so both of you slip to the bottom to the flat part easily. Meanwhile, Chiron is going to try to open the portcullis. He says, try to find a way to get it open, to keep it open so you can get out.
Maybe you can keep it open so we can get out.
That's what I'm saying.
Huh. Good idea.
Okay, and then you hear him calling up the slope to Herrick. And Herrick!
Yes?
There's a portcullis. I need a way to keep it up. Any suggestions?
I have spikes. You could potentially put one in if it runs in a channel, or does it just cover the...
Just a minute, I'll check. All right. Meanwhile, so they're working on the portcullis, trying to keep it up, or at least some. It doesn't have to be all the way up, just enough that you can get under it to get out. But as long as it's down, you can't get out without a long delay. So.
He's just moving forward, and he'll say, why don't you grab that sword? It might be important.
I'm going to grab it, and I'll put one of my daggers away.
Okay. Chiron's the closest thing you got. You left him on the other side of the portcullis. He turns as a what level is he now? He turns as a third level cleric. So the chance to turn a lich or a vampire at third level is not very good.
Yeah, it don't turn much better.
That's right. And your druid turns too.
I'm starting to think.
But you keep leaving them behind.
I'm starting to think. Arden is starting to think this is a critical.
not going to find anything down here, and it wouldn't matter anyways.
Yeah. So,
third level cleric cannot turn. This is Low Moon Outsiders, and the story continues. A vampire cannot turn a lich. It's not possible.
A base chance of...
Probably cannot turn a crypt thing.
At a base chance of 16 for skeletons, where does that put me on that chart?
Low.
16 for skeletons?
Well, because I just have a chance to... You give me a chance to turn a 19 at third level.
For skeletons?
Four. You just said chance to turn 19 at third level.
Okay.
It's something I learned. I haven't really put it to practice yet.
Okay. So you'd be...
And I can go... And it goes up
one. Not turning liches or vampires for sure. So you could turn probably up to a ghoul would be possible. So you could have turned ghouls on a 20.
So. I'm not as good as a cleric, probably, or a paladin, so...
No. Yeah, so he could have turned ghouls on, like, a 13, I think. 13, 16. He did try to turn it first, but then he failed, so he just decided to kill him.
That's usually a paladin's kind of thing to do.
Yeah.
He turns ghouls on a 10.
And he fails. So, all right, anyway. So, Lucas walks... past you and says, so why don't you pick up that longsword and heads to the T intersection. You can go left or right. To the left, you can see on improvision that it goes about 15 feet and then turns to the right. And then to the right on improvision, you can see that it goes about 25 feet and turns up to the right.
No residual heat, no obvious signs of passage.
Correct.
Right it is.
Okay. So you go right. It's going about 25 feet and turning right. As you get close to the corner, you can see that it is going to go at least 15 feet. Then you get at the corner, and you can see that it goes 20 feet and then turns left. Okay.
I'm going quickly. I'm like hustling.
Okay, so you're not going carefully, but quickly, despite the fact that
I guess I'm crashed.
There was a portcullis trap already. What's his wisdom?
Ten.
Oh, he's fine going quickly. It's like, I'm going to get this guy.
Yeah. Miller's dead or dying, so that's the concern.
Okay.
If it is a crypt thing, Miller is mush on the pavement, probably.
Crypt thing, a vampire, or a lich, all would be very bad.
Yeah.
Okay.
Vampire, lich, all bad.
All right. So you turn to the right. It's going 25, 30 feet, and then turning to the left. Are the two of you following? Mm-hmm. Okay. Is there a particular order? Who's next after him?
Luke
should be next. Okay. Who's next? Dagger's out.
I have the sword.
Okay.
And one dagger.
All right. Sword and one dagger. Okay. It feels awkward, like you don't think that you'll get extra attacks with the dagger. You might be able to parry with it, but you don't think you'll be able to get extra attacks with it, with the sword. The sword's too big. But not with the longsword.
Yeah, longsword's pretty long.
Yeah.
Most people didn't use longswords.
Yeah, there is such thing as a parrying dagger, that you use a longsword and a parrying dagger. That's relatively common, but the sword is so much longer that why would you try to stick him with the dagger when you can just hack him again with the sword? So you just don't get the attacks with the sword. You don't get very many attacks with the dagger. Oh, you wind up wrestling on the ground or something, but at that point you can't attack with the sword. Anyway, so you have sword and dagger. And then a sword, bow, arrow notched. Okay. I think by my count, you should be down to like 6 arrows or something. Getting low on arrows. Oh, 50? Okay. All right. Plenty of arrows left. Got it. Okay? All right. And then, so it turns left, and immediately upon turning left, you can see that it is going about 15 feet and ending at a door. It is a human-sized door, 7 foot by 3 foot. It looks old. It's wood bound in iron. There's some vines and moss and stuff that's growing down from the ceiling on it. I mean, you're definitely in a burial mound kind of thing.
Yeah, run up and kick it now.
I knew it.
However, before you do that, roll a d6.
Okay. Lucas kick. Lucas kick door. Two.
Paladin. Okay. Just before the door, about 5 feet, on the right-hand wall, there is a concealed opening. Possibly a secret door, concealed door kind of thing. It's more concealed than secret.
Okay. There's a secret door. Who's behind you?
Clune.
There's a secret door.
Okay.
She's like, what am I supposed to do? You guys are smarter than me. Which one do we take?
I'm what? Just as smart as you. I'm not
I assume right. We take the secret door.
Secret door it is.
How is it concealed?
Okay. So, I mean, as the walls here are that wooden, are that bricks with mortar.
Right.
And they're rough-hewn bricks. They're not very neatly rectangular. But you can see that there is a place where there's like a line that goes down where the bricks were broken and they sit like this, you know, so this part sits back in and this part sits out a little bit and it goes like that on the line. And then you can see some vines and stuff that go down hanging on it. And the vines is what alerted you to that there was something behind there because they're not growing in their normal way. They seem to be like they've been recently pushed aside or whatever.
Can I take it?
Doesn't look like it's solid. Like you think there's like moving the vines, moving the whatever's blocking the doorway would be enough.
I'll do that.
Okay. I mean, you can push it aside like with your sword first to just kind of see whether. All right. So rolls for surprise.
Not surprised.
Okay. So you're not overly shocked, but a little put out, perhaps, as you see behind it what might be a body. Mind you're on infravision, and you only are catching a glimpse of it, but it's a body and it may be still warm.
Great. Okay.
Okay, so you push it open some more and get in. All right, so with relative certainty, it is Miller's body. Not my pizza.
It's probably Miller.
I've never heard one.
Probably Aaron.
Looks like Ron asked for heroic death. What's in character? Okay, so I will pull him out of the hole. Is it a hole or is it like a...
So it appears to be basically like an alcove.
Okay, I will pull him out.
You're not
scared. He is. He's up there. He's not there.
He's not.
He's close, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So you're able to pull him out. He is warm compared to the surroundings. You can see him. However, he looks colder than as if he died a few minutes ago. Like his body temperature is considerably lower than you would expect if he died a few minutes ago.
He's gonna turn.
Turn.
Okay. Also, he does not have very much equipment.
I'm going to roll a wisdom check.
Okay. And see if it turn on dead or not.
Undead. Killed him. Means it's likely left to his own devices, he might rise again. I don't know that for sure. I don't know exactly what it is we're dealing with. But we should probably cut his head off to be safe.
Out of context, that's a bad line.
Lay him down.
Lay him down.
Actually, wait, hold him up.
So, to be clear, to be aware, he is human.
Right.
So if you take his head off, you will need a resurrection to raise him as opposed to a raised dead. As an elf, you would know that.
Like stab him through the heart.
Probably the same thing. If you do catastrophic damage to his body, it becomes a resurrection instead of a raised dead.
How long it would take? You're going to come back and undead?
Don't worry, just carry him. You're lucky I know that it might happen.
Chiron is not actually in their little group, so.
Oh, sorry.
But yes.
It's just me.
Chiron and Herrick are trying. Yeah, Chiron would have knowledge about this, but they are trying to get the portcullis up to provide a way of retreat. All right. That's where they're at right now.
I will tuck his body over my shoulder.
Tie him up first.
Okay.
Eyebrow.
He's pudgy in the middle. He's pudgy in the middle, but other than that, you can easily.
No, it's fine. Let's go.
His just
no,
his belly sags around your neck.
You as you're walking.
Just starts nibbling.
Okay.
We are leaving. Let's see. Roll d20. 15. Okay. So as he huffs him over his shoulder and he sags kind of down in the middle and whatever, his head turns oddly to the side, and basically in the dim candlelight, you're looking at him face to face from just like 18 inches away. And it's one of those moments where like it would be a kind of a jump scare, but you're calm. You know, it's not a problem. But if you were watching the movie, it would freak you out. Yes, because his head fell just perfectly to be looking in a skirt's face when you threw him over your shoulder.
Probably gag.
That is crazy. How did that happen if I threw him over my shoulder? Is the skirt standing next to me?
He's behind you. The skirt's behind you.
Yeah, over your shoulder on his back's on your shoulder.
Why would his back be on his shoulder?
No, his middle's on your shoulder, but then his head is turned at an odd angle. It appears as if his neck is not sitting the way it normally would.
Perhaps his neck was broken.
Yeah. All right, we're leaving. We're hustling back.
Like catastrophic damage.
Okay. And so, meanwhile, Chiron and Herrick are trying to arrange the portcullis. To lock it in some form of up position, you're going to need to be able to lift it. You're standing on a 45-degree slope, and the ground is slippery with lichen and water and mosses and such. And you have to be able to bend bars, lift gates. So roll percentile dice, sir. You do not have a lever, per se, or anything to make it easier. It does appear on the surface to be a little lighter than normal. Nice. Okay, so you're able to lift the portcullis up, and you have it like at waist level, the plan is to try to wedge a spike in. You did find there's a track on the wall that it's riding in, and so you're at one side. Herrick suggested a spike, gave you the spike, and you're going to try to wedge a spike up into that so that it won't slide down. Okay, mind you, in theory. And you could call Herrick down to actually physically do that if you want.
I'm up at the top of the thing
top
where
of the
we got the rope tied off so that nobody like unties it.
Okay. How difficult
do
I think it's gonna be to do by myself?
I mean, so not terribly. It's doable. You're gonna have to brace the portcullis up in its current position, put the basically,
like
if the portcullis starts to slide down a little bit, it'll wedge the spike automatically, pretty much. So you're just going to lift it about 6 inches higher than you want to block it at, hold the spike in there, and let it ease down onto the spike. That's the plan.
Okay.
So basically, it's a dex check. If you can make a dex check, you can do it.
Okay.
If it'll hold, and then it'll be whether or not it holds.
Maybe
okay, so no problem. You got the spike in the track. You're letting it settle down onto the spike. Now, as long as the spike holds, you've got it stopped. And it does not. So it slides down, you let it go, and the spike starts sliding down, and it's the hole is now too small for them to get out, maybe like 15 inches or so. So you have to lift it back up again and try again, or maybe try the other side, something.
Okay, I'll try the other side.
Okay, so you can, as long as you're careful, you can walk across and hold it at its current level, then you'll have to lift it back up to where you want it and then put it in there. So we'll dex check as you're walking across the slope.
No problem.
Okay, so the stuff is slipping under your feet, but you always manage to find purchase and not actually fall down. Now you're on the other side. it appears as if the track is the same as what the other one was. And then you put the spike in the track. You have to lift it up high enough, put the spike in the track, ease it down onto the spike, roll Ben Bar's lift gates.
One.
Nice. Okay. So apparently that's your thing. Maybe not rolling healing, but bending bars and lifting gates. You should stick with that.
I'm really good at rolling low numbers.
Okay. All right. But not when you're trying to bend bars, lift gates.
I'm siphoning the high numbers. That's not even true.
That's why we should play.
I'm just freaking right.
All right, anyway, so you have the spike in place. You're letting it settle down onto it. So as long as the spike holds, you've got it. And it does not.
Dude.
So it's back down too small again. So you're thinking you either need something more solid than the spike, like something more like that has a reason to stay.
What if you put a spike on either side?
About the mace. Couldn't reach.
So the mace would do it, but it's only going to hold it open like about a foot and a half. But the mace would definitely do it.
Yeah, that should be funny. Is it spiked on the bottom, or is it flat?
It's spiked.
And the bottom of the spikes would be a foot and a half.
Yeah.
That's like a small
yeah. Mind you, it's still pretty good, and then if they came up, they could help lift it, or you could lift it. But if you don't get it spiked up higher, you can't go down and help them. You'd have to stay here to make sure they can get out. They might be. The whole point was they might be running. They already know Miller. They said Miller engaged some old, undead-looking man. Scary, gaunt man, basically. And they were basically going down to try to find Miller.
Is there any way I might be able to lash it up with my sling?
No, probably not. The walls are rough. If you had a hammer, you could pound a spike in the wall, like between the mortar, and then you could actually use the sling, or better yet, just some of the extra rope to tie to the spike and tie it to the bottom of the portcullis, and that would probably hold it up if the rope would hold. Do we have a hammer? Or just spikes?
Just 10 spikes.
Just spikes.
Ooh, just my spikes.
You could use the mace. To pound
do you have spikes?
Could be bad for the mace,
no.
But it would.
Then
is it a normal mace or is it a magical?
No,
well, I probably
don't
have it.
Probably find to craft it after that.
Yeah.
You'll be unfinely crafting it.
I have a magical mace.
Well, I mean, so if it takes damage, it'll no longer be magical, but it will be less likely to take damage because it's magic.
You could probably be able to wedge your shield in there, but then you wouldn't have shield.
Would that work? Well, shield probably not better than
a
mace.
It's maybe just a little better than a mace, but not much. Because it's not that high, really.
Is it a horseman's mace or a horseman's mace?
It
says Lucas's magic mace.
Like, wait, Lucas's magic mace.
Oh, then what are you worried about? You're going to have to return it anyway.
Horseman's mace, that's like... Yeah, that's
smaller than
a horseman's mace.
Yeah.
Well, horseman's maces are...
Smaller.
Are they smaller? I thought they were usually a little longer.
No, they're smaller because you can't counterbalance the weight on horseback as well as you can on foot.
I was of the opposite impression, so I definitely should have a foot.
I was years ago as well. It's been a few years ago since I actually figured that out.
When I made that choice, I was the first one.
So what do we want to do? You got it up about 15 inches. You're holding it.
Can you but very short.
The horseman's is?
Yes. Yeah. So that misconception is understandable. It would probably hit it a little higher.
Yeah, and they would wear the thong around their wrist, and as they ride, they'd go whack, whack.
Well, they get the momentum from the horse, too.
Yeah,
ride-by.
Exactly. Footman's mason's 4 foot to operate. It's a 4 foot clearance to use it.
Well, consider it this way. What's easier to handle on a motorcycle, a baseball bat or a billy club?
Billy club. You can do it with a baseball bat, but it won't be convenient.
There you go.
What are we doing? A clock?
No choice. On a motorcycle?
I don't know.
You could stack spikes in the track to see if they would stay. Like, put one in this way. Because they're like railroad ties, railroad spikes, basically. So put one in this way, and then put one in this way, and then put one in this way, up until you get to, like, 3 feet. You can do it on both sides, then.
Okay.
It's going to be a lot of spikes. How many spikes we got?
I have 20, or 10.
10. 5 on each side. They're about 10 inches. Yeah.
Okay, I'll try.
Okay. So you hold it up. You stack it up. Well, you could test it at the 15-inch mark first and see if it's even going to work. Okay. Put it in there. Okay, roll a dex check.
Okay.
Okay, it does hold.
Oh.
Okay, so you've got it staying at 15 inches, or it's more like 20 inches, cause, or a little less than 20 inches because of the two spikes.
Okay,
so you really only need about like two more spikes on that side. The other side, you won't even have to spike it.
I'll try probably. And go for four.
Okay. Dex check again.
Bam.
Okay. What's your dex?
16.
Okay, so it does hold.
I'm sorry. 15.
It does hold. Okay. So you got five spikes in the hole, in the track, and it comes down and it's sitting on there. It's precarious, but it is sitting on there. If you don't want to miss any of the story, Low Moon Origins, Uprising, or Outsiders, like and follow our podcast. Please share it with friends. Yeah, if somebody bumps it hard, it could, the whole thing could topple.
I'm just, quick, let's get out. And somebody bumps into it and it crushes.
Quick, let's try again. Okay, anyway.
Get it off me.
All right, so anyway, about that time that you've got it propped. So it's propped at 8 times. It's propped at just over 3 feet, okay? And at about that time, you see you hear more than see. You're in very darkness. I mean, not much light at all. You hear sounds of them coming up, and you see they have candlelight, so you can see them, even though there's darkness between you and them. All right, so the three of you have reached the bottom of the slope. I think Lucas was leading, correct?
Yes.
With Miller over his shoulder. You're bringing up the rear?
Yes.
Okay. So as you reach the T-intersection and turn to head back toward the slope, you hear the low, creaky sound of something opening, and it seems to come from the other direction. So like you went to the right, comes from the left. Okay, so it's 20 feet up a 45-degree slope, then under a 3-foot-high portcullis, a little over 3 feet high, without bumping the portcullis, preferably, probably. But Chiron is there, and there is a rope that they tied off at the top that starts at about 10 feet from the bottom. So after the first 10 feet, you could use the rope. Okay. So you're going up first.
Yep.
Lucas is, so make a dex check. And it is modified for slippery and.
11, which makes my dex.
Okay. So you are up as far as the rope, assuming you can really only hold the rope in one hand. You don't have a weapon out. Shield and
I didn't have a weapon out anyways. I'm carrying a body.
So you got a shield.
Yeah.
So.
I guess I would probably rather.
Probably the body and the shield on your left side and the rope in your right hand, probably. Okay. Great. And you're going up the rope. You're basically just using the rope to stabilize. You're not climbing up it. Okay. Meanwhile, is anyone going up next? Are you going up next? Okay. All right. Roll a dex check. Okay, so you are up the slope as far as the dangling rope, and Lucas is getting close to the portcullis. Arden, roll another dex check.
Ten.
Okay, So you have arrived at the portcullis. The rope goes under the portcullis. The portcullis is a little over 3 feet off the ground, so you're going to have to get down and go under. Chiron is just outside.
Chiron, take Miller's body.
What?
Shut up and do it. We don't have time.
The duel begins.
So, yes.
Throw Miller's body.
So you are hearing that from the utter darkness, that you cannot see him at all.
Okay.
I'm sliding Miller's body under the portcullis. Just feel around. Just feel around.
All right. What is going on?
Okay. Yeah. All right. So you grope around. You feel his eye, his nose, his slightly misshapen face. You grab his body and pull him under the portcullis. Roll a straight up dex check to make sure that you keep your footing on the 45 degree slope while heaving.
No problem.
So yes, you manage to pull him under. He pulls him under the portcullis. So now you still have 20 feet from the back of the portcullis up to the top, but there is one rope slung. And you did see the rope go tight, and you do hear voices like, things are happening now.
So I am paying close attention to the top, make sure nothing is going to
keep them from getting. You do continue to hear like low noises of moving, growling, things in the graveyard, but you do not see any more creatures come and attack you. At least not yet. Okay. And you have passed the body under the portcullis. What are you doing now?
He's going to attempt to keep the portcullis in, like, either, or keep the rope.
It appears to be held up by some way, portcullis does.
He's going to keep the rope either in one hand or wrapped around one hand or something and lift the portcullis the rest of the way up so that people can go quickly.
Okay.
So he's still using the rope to support himself so he doesn't fall. But
sure.
To...
Roll Ben Varsel Gates. And Caitlin, roll 20.
35. Under 45.
8.
Okay. So you lift the portcullis up to about 4.5-5 feet off the ground, and Klum arrives at the portcullis. Meanwhile, I assume Astur was headed up, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Do you want to use one hand on the rope, or you want to sling the bow and go up two-handed?
Sling the bow.
Okay. So roll a dex check.
Three.
No problem. Okay, so you're up as far as the rope. You have the dangling rope. It's moving around quite a bit at the top, but you manage to grab a hold of it no problem, and you're continuing up. We'll also roll a d20 again.
20.
Okay. In the darkness behind you, and you can't see, even if you look over your shoulder, you know it's pitch black dark back there. You hear a crackling noise that seems quite out of place. And it seemed to be not far, like it might have been at the T intersection. It's not very far away at all, 20 feet, maybe 30 feet. Okay.
Oh no, I'm moving.
Okay. Are you going under the portcullis then?
Yep.
Okay. And which is easy to do for you because it's almost head high. How tall are you?
I am 5'3".
Yeah, so you barely have to duck at all. And then on the other side, so you're on the other side, you're holding the body. She does have a dagger out that is providing candlelight, so you can see her, like it's a little eerie, but you can see her face and like that. And she comes through to where you are. So now it's the two of you and Miller's body, and you can see Lucas is holding the portcullis up quite a bit higher. So the spikes are still in the track, but which will keep it from dropping any further down than, say, 3 feet or so. But he's holding it up at about 5 feet.
Okay, I'll just let him hold it and make sure one gets through the door okay without falling.
Okay. So you, like, prop Miller against the wall, basically, like, lay him between the wall and the floor so he doesn't slide down.
Like, both arms, like, hold him up?
No, not if you lay him, like, against the wall. You shouldn't.
Okay. Yeah,
you
know, I'll do that then.
Unless somebody like then bumps him, then he might start sliding. But okay, so you put him against the wall. You help Klum go through. Are you going all the way to the top? are you?
I'll stay down there. And
okay. It's like go to the wall and
yeah.
Flank guard or whatever. Okay. You are reaching the portcullis. Roll another door. Okay, so you go under the portcullis with ease. Lucas is holding it open. Roll a d20 just to check your footing.
13.
3 Okay, so you've had no trouble as long as you kept your footing kind of planted where you found purchase. Right. But the rope has been moving around quite a lot because people are using it, but you can use it some. But anyway, you found no trouble whatsoever holding in your spot and holding the portcullis up. And everyone is now through except for you.
Okay, so then he will step through and grab it behind you.
Okay.
Right.
As you step through, so now this is what we've got. We've got candlelight where you are that Clum is providing with her dagger. Chiron is between you and the wall. Miller's body's laying, like, wedged against the wall on the floor. A Sturd has just come through, and Clum is, like, to the opposite side. So it's to stay out of the way, but be ready. And from the base of the slope, which is the only person who can actually see the base of the slope, is Lucas. And you do not see anything there. But you hear a voice say, "Throw down my sword, and I will let you leave."
"You killed my friend.
It's mine.
Have you not taken enough?
You
have his sword?"
"He stole my princess."
"What princess? Do we have it still? Does he have it still?"
"She is with you. Give me the girl, and I will give your friend life."
"Clum. That girl.
Is that her name?"
"She is your princess. You do not know her name."
"It is an arranged marriage. It will take some time for us to get to know each other."
"Arranged marriage? Arranged by who?"
"Me, of course." "Don't make me come up. As much as I would like to add you to my armies, I'm feeling generous."
"How kind of you. Clum, give it back."
Okay. Right. It bounces and clatters along the lichen. Slippery, wet, slightly wet floor until it reaches the bottom.
"We're
lost in the
now.
Darkness." You do see it laying there. And then it sort of seems to float up off of the ground. And you realize you are not able to see him. What's that?
A sword or a wife? That's...
Oh, he'd like both.
I mean, I like both, but like...
Maybe it's a...
That was our
"I can't
choice.
Take you without my sword, so give me my sword back and I'll let you leave. But then I'll change my mind."
"Oh, you
sword.
Know."
Okay. All right, so the portcullis goes down.
Those
and
are the ones with their weapons.
A couple of the spikes slip out, but it stops. It does not go all the way to the floor. It's at about 18 inches. Something appears to be jamming the portcullis.
"We're leaving."
Okay, up and out the slope, and no one too terribly the worse for wear, except for Miller, who is dead.
Lucas will attempt to get somebody else to carry Miller so that he can have a weapon.
Okay, also, as you exit back out into the creepy, creepy fog, because remember, he blew the fog out of the tunnel, but back outside, leaving the darkness and entering the fog, as it were, and the rope is taut as they're coming up and out, and you can hear their voices and their footsteps and stuff.
Time's passed.
That's what I was about to say. So you would guess that it has been about 10 to 15 minutes since the girl left.
Not a lot of time. 2 hours. Guess we're making great time. Who all heard that the meter in the center of town?
I think Lucas definitely heard that.
It was you, Lucas, and Chiron, I think.
Well, Chiron wasn't paying attention because he was
yelling.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. So it was just the two of you. Okay, what are we doing?
We are going to get our stuff. And
yeah, so it will easily take 5 to 10 minutes minimum. And that's if you are reckless, like you'll have to rush there, grab everything you possibly can, and get out if that's what you're going to try to do. And you won't have time to like saddle horses, that kind of thing. You can throw the horse on back, you can throw the saddle on their back or whatever, but you won't have time to hitch a wagon. No, probably not.
I can go meet her at the north side of town and see if she'll hold for a couple more minutes to get everybody ready.
Yeah, I'll go see if I can hold the boat.
Yeah. You should not go by yourself.
Shoot her in the foot, then somebody go with me, because I'm just saying they're going.
No, don't actually.
Miller will go with you.
Does anybody else have all their stuff?
No.
All I have.
Clune travels fairly lightly.
All I have to grab is a backpack and my horse, but I really need both of those things.
All my stuff is.
That
in the
and
way.
Clune had the opportunity to grab a lot of stuff when the fight initially broke out because she was inside and people were already fighting.
Okay.
So she saddled up and.
All well, your stuff's in the wagon. Oh, we can't take the wagon. So.
Oh, I just need my bow, my axe, this one, good.
We're going to leave our wagon behind. You can't hitch it. We're not fine.
I mean, you can if you can get her to stay long enough.
Hold the lady. Okay, so do we assume that you can hold the lady?
I'm going to grab her and hold her right there.
Are we afraid of somebody stealing the wagon while we leave town?
I assume this conversation is happening while you're running back toward the building because we've been like doing it for 2 minutes.
So I'd say just leave it. It'll probably be here if we come back for it in, daylight.
Okay. Running through the graveyard back toward the center of town, everyone make a dex check.
Made it.
Failed. One on the ground made it.
She hit your shin on
the Clue made it. Chiron made it?
Yep.
I failed. Okay. So you, as you're running through, you hit like an actual gravestone that stands up. And it caves over under your weight. So it basically winds up laying flat and may have cracked. But you do take 1 point of damage.
I'll just have my armor.
Nope. It's fall damage. Can't do armor.
What?
That's dumb. Sorry. That's the way it works. Armor works versus weapons, not balls.
It's just like a big mace.
You can make it.
It's more like a wall.
You can make it. Yes.
More like a wall than a mace.
How much health does full plate normally have? 24?
Full is 24 before it degrades once. Oh, it has more than that. It degrades at 24.
Oh. Okay, so mine starts at 4. Because mine's double here.
So at 48 points of damage, it will degrade 1 AC. It doesn't stop working, it just degrades 1 AC. Basically, okay. Once it degrades 3 points of AC, it's basically useless without an armor. So you're not, you've got, you need to be 144 points before you have to worry about it. But it'll go down in AC every 48
armor
points.
Armor?
Yeah, a lot of time.
Yeah.
Like it's an hour per point or whatever.
Something you really want to figure out.
Days,
there's something
like
I really want to figure out. I have tons of pygmy in there, and I don't know how I'm working.
Tons of what?
Pygmy.
Oh, pygmy. What's
the
pygmy?
Pig that's salted?
Yes.
Forget the pig meat!
Did anyone else miss their dex check? Just checking.
No, I didn't.
Okay.
I just ran through a gravestone.
Your shin hurt?
No, I'm fine.
My advice would be don't do that.
Okay, you cleared the graveyard, you're in the village. It takes a moment and help from Herrick with his direction sense to get to the house that you guys were staying in before. The fog is still covering the village pretty badly, so visibility is 3 to 5 feet at any given time. But you do manage to find the house, and you're loading up. You are going out to try to find the well. Also a tough task in the fog. Anyone going with you, or are you by yourself?
We're sending Klum.
Klum is going with you, okay. So Klum and Herrick rush out there to try to find the well. Both of you roll a d20. Okay. So outside the fence, the ground, it does the elevation on this side, the elevation is going up a little bit. And so you do find patches of visibility. Mind you, you're seeing by starlight, unless you have a brighter light yourself. And it's about 60% canopy clouds, so it's not a lot of starlight. So you think dim night, but you can see a little bit. And so you navigate from patch of not so foggy to patch of not so foggy, and you do manage to find the well. It is it's a rectangle of stone in the ground, stacked stone, and it's probably 8 foot by 10 foot, and it actually has stairs that go down to the well itself. It's not like a well, like the traditional wishing well type thing where it's like a circle with a bar across the top like this. This is more like it's a rectangle on the ground, like a low wall about 2 feet high, and you go to the opening and you can go down the steps into the well, but you don't need to go down into the well. You just located the well, but there is no sign of the girl.
Lady?
Hello?
No answer. So it has been, by estimation, it has been about 20 minutes. But you're estimating, because you didn't check the clock, because you can't see the clock. In fact, you realize that when you're in the fog, you can't check your watch, and that's troublesome to you. You just realize that makes you feel rather uneasy, that even if you wanted to know what time it was, you couldn't while you're in the fog. That bothers you. But in a gap in the fog out here, you could theoretically check the time. And it glows just ever so faintly in the complete darkness. So you might be able to check the time even in darkness. But fog, that proposes a real problem. How does anyone ever know what time it is in the fog? Fog is like timeless. You find yourself meditating on time, but you don't find the girl. No. She does not appear to be in the area. And even as kind of a bank of open drifts across as the fog is moving, and you can see like 10, 15 feet in every direction. There's no obvious sign of her. Now you could check for tracks. There's been no fighting here. This is outside the fence, so there's not a lot of fight. And you're pretty sure most of the tracks were from the graveyard up to the village and back again. So if there's tracks here, you could possibly spot her tracks.
Maybe she went to the well. Maybe she went out of the door. Signs, and if there's nothing there,
I'm going to
go look for tracks.
Okay, so roll percentile dice. Okay. So it does appear there are a set of tracks, human, light, And they went down into the well, and they came up out of the well within the last hour at the most.
So there's a way out of town to the well?
No, more likely it seems like she came out here, hid in the well, waited for you. You didn't come. She went up out of the well and maybe left. Or went to hide in the brush instead, or went, you know, some distance away.
Can she not guess to me 20 minutes?
Well, she doesn't have a clock.
So.
Suddenly you feel substantial pity toward those who don't have a pocket watch. You realize just exactly how blessed you are to have a pocket watch.
Yeah.
Then you think about how in the fog you can't check what time it is. And you realize that everyone who doesn't have a pocket watch is in the fog.
Exactly. The philosopher. Next time we go into town, we're going to buy pocket watches.
Actually, they're really rare, so it's going to be hard to buy them for everybody. Especially in this part of the world. You might have to go to a certain part of the world to buy pocket watches. Anyway, so you could theoretically check for tracks. However, meanwhile, back in town,
you enter town,
mm-hmm. Miller enters town, because he doesn't have a choice.
Okay. Can I give Miller? I was going to give Miller to somebody. Can I give Miller to you? Miller. You're much more useful carrying a dead body than I am.
Thanks.
I don't know if that's an insult or not. Well, he can.
It's completely an insult.
No, he can cast spells and stuff while his hands are full. And I can't do that.
You can't cast spells at all.
Yeah. <That's> no. <not. laughs> You definitely can't cast them with his hands. The one thing I'm good for, I need my hands for.
Okay. So. Charon's going in the house to get his armor. Were you gathering up whatever of the sturds that he said he needed? Is that the plan?
Yeah. He said he didn't actually really need anything, but I'll grab his backpack or something. And I'll grab my backpack.
So both of you are going in the house?
I've got a few things that I'm just going to grab.
Okay, so all three of you are going in the house. Who's going in first?
Lucas will go in first.
Roll for surprise.
Not surprise. 6.
Okay. All right, so as you step in the darkness, an invisible creature, probably undead, moves to attack you. You may roll initiative, sir. He is standing in the doorway. You may both roll initiative. However, if he doesn't get out of the doorway, you will not be able to attack.
6.
So roll for initiative for Herod, roll initiative for Chiron. There is a back door, however, just for the record.
3, 6.
Okay. So what did you say your initiative was?
6.
Okay, so you are simultaneous. However, he gets 3 attacks. So it will be him, then you, then him. You get 2 or 1?
I have to roll... I have to roll flurry blows, which I made my dex check.
Okay.
So I get 3 attacks.
Okay, so then you will be simultaneous on all 3 attacks. Interested in giving financially to Low Moon and support the campaign? Text LMGIVE, that's LM Give, to 419-419-0095. You're hitting, he's clawing, you're hitting, he's clawing, you're hitting, he's biting.
Can I?
If you shield parry, you'll just back off and it'll be him, you, like that.
Yeah, so I'll do that, but I want to shield parry to bite.
Specifically. Okay?
So actually, these guys are paralyzed.
They do. On all 3 attacks.
Never mind, I'll just do it.
Okay, alright. So he's going first. 3. Shield parry is how much?
Not
you're not shield parrying.
No.
Okay.
I'm going simultaneous with him because I'm worried about paralyzed. But I want to at least hit him.
Okay, but if you shield parry him, you make it very unlikely to hit him, and then you still get an attack after his first attack.
I thought his first attack was a flaw.
Yeah, they all paralyzed. All 3 of his attacks paralyzed.
Okay, I'll just shield parry the first one. Okay. My shield parry is like 5.
Yeah, so your best chance is shield parry the first attack, then attack, hopefully kill it before it gets another attack. Yeah, that's your best chance, tactically.
Yeah, we'll
however, you have a 10 wisdom. So, do you want to do what's tactical, or are you feeling emotional?
We'll do that.
Okay, sounds good.
If there's one thing that he's good at, it's this.
His claw rings mightily off your sword.
Okay.
Off your shield.
Okay. I roll the natural 19.
Which will hit?
I do 13 points.
Okay, he is still there. He has survived your first blow. He will now claw.
Can I sword parry using my third attack, or one of my attacks?
You may not sword parry while during flurry of blows, okay. Unfortunately.
All right, that's fine.
Flurry of blows is, it replaces your attack routine maneuver.
Okay.
So.
I have negative 2 AC, and I'm wearing a helmet.
And he missed.
Okay.
And you may take your second attack.
Natural 17.
Okay. Yeah, and actually, we did that a little wrong anyway with the shield parry. You'd had to either shield parry first or way after. You couldn't do it in between attacks.
Yeah.
Because flurry of blow is exactly that.
Yeah.
So, all right. Anyway, so you hit.
Points.
All right. He goes down. Okay. So he goes in the doorway. There's a quick slash. And they're slamming on each other or whatever. And the door slams open further and then closed again. And he hacks at the creature with a couple of slices. And within 30 seconds or so, he has put the creature down. And, oh, can't find the one I want. Must be on the top half. That must be why. Okay. Who is second in the door? Who is second in the door?
I'll go second.
Okay. As you step into the doorway, in the dim light of the room, you realize that the creature that Lucas just killed was a ghoul, but looks remarkably like Kellum.
Yeah. That's two.
What?
It's Kellum. He just killed Kellum. Well, what was left of Kellum.
Who killed Kellum?
Do you have Miller's body?
No, I left it back at the cave. Yes, I've got his body.
Sorry, head's a little fuzzy. Put him on the ground. I have given up all hope on bringing him back to life. We need to deal with that.
What do three creatures believe about, like, is there anything about
what killed him?
Basically, your dad, you go to Hades most of the time. Unless you have
these things.
Really shown yourself to the gods as something special. Ghouls do turn creatures into undead. That's what they do. Basically, if you die to a ghoul, you become a ghoul.
What do you mean?
Your training tells you
that. Miller is too cold?
Yes. His body, it's too cold.
The creature that was in the creature that was in the cave, which you did not see, unfortunately,
he's turning,
could have been a more powerful undead.
Either is possible, and both will likely result in turning.
Chiron could examine the body and tell you whether or not it is affected as he was describing, meaning whether he would possibly raise as an undead.
Okay.
He's definitely not coming back as a ghoul, because if he was, he'd already be up.
Okay.
Like, it's almost within a minute. Okay, roll healing.
Well, he's doing that.
Getting
the
stuff.
Yeah.
Yep.
The horse is the most important. I'd rather have my horse than my backpack. The backpack is very nice.
You mentioned the ghouls love horses.
I'll ask the group. Can someone saddle my horse for me?
I can drive.
I think right now it's just a matter of throwing the saddle on the horse so you don't have to carry it.
If the horse is even alive.
Sure.
Lucas will gather his backpack, and he's out the door in like 15 seconds.
Okay.
You don't believe me?
I'm watching Chiron's back as he's investigating the body and then ready to bolt.
What was the healing check? So you're only about 50-50, but the body has definitely been affected in some way. You've seen life drain before. So he's either been partially life drained and then killed, or he has been life drained to the point that he would come back as a vampire. So it's 50-50 on either of those two guys, but I'm sure that he has some form of life drain has happened to him.
Okay.
And then that would indicate that the guy that was down there was a vampire.
Okay. I'll say...
Or someone able to life drain.
It wasn't a ghoul. It looks like a vampire. Probably 50-50 shot if he's coming back as a vampire or not. I assume Lucas is gone, but he's not hearing this.
Kill him. Or I will.
Is it like against what Asclepius would believe or anything like that to change your body after very good?
No, not really. He's already dead, so.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's for the best.
If he's bound to be a vampire, then spike him in the heart, put him under running water. Beheading him may or may not work.
Right. Yeah, the...
And it's a wooden spike required, by the way.
The amount of harm the vampire could possibly do is too great. I'd normally be against this kind of thing, but...
The Prince Albert series on Kindle features Prince Albert, the young errant prince of the Kingdom Geoff.
I don't really have much choice.
Okay, so Lucas arrives at the horses. So first of all, you realize that the corral where you had placed the horses has been busted open. And you find that both of the light war horses are dead. But in the corral, not having run off and still seeming to be in reasonable health, although he has the minor wounds, is the draft horse. And you do not see the heavy horse. Mind you, it's foggy, so you're not seeing very far at all. And the corral is 40, 50 feet across. You could just be on the other side. But that seems unlikely because I think we had two light.
I had one.
Okay, so then, all right. So the other, so one of the light, one of the heavies is dead. One of the heavies is possibly alive.
Okay, well, he will quickly run and check the rest of the corral.
Do we know he comes this?
I mean, you can figure it out. You know when you can see them, feel them. All right, so it's not in the corral. Now, you know, it might come if called.
Yeah, I'll try
but
calling.
The more attention you draw to yourself, the more likely other things might come as well.
I'll try calling to it.
Okay. Okay, at least initially he does not come.
Okay, I'll saddle the draft horse.
The problem is, you know, he could wander pretty far in this fog pretty easily. You know, horses usually will go from their, even more horses will go from their site of being let loose under drastic circumstances as much as a mile or more.
Put us out
along
the draft horse, and I mean, I can still ride like
a normal horse, right? Yeah, it's just going to get tired easier. Because draft horses just are older war horses.
We'll go put us out on the draft horse and mount it, and then I'll try to come out of the house.
Okay, by the time you get done saddling it, they'll probably be pretty quickly coming out. All the equipment is collected, come out of the house. What about, what do we wind up further dealing with the body?
We have a wooden stake.
I can get one for a piece of furniture.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's a table. Where is there a table? Your table leg?
There was a small table and chairs.
You
probably already busted up. No, they're not wood.
My metal spikes?
All of your wood?
Yeah, it's be a wooden spike.
I'll go over and break off a good sized piece of the leg.
Okay.
Imagine the table's pretty beat up. So just kind of kick it off the bottom of the surface of the table and
Oh, I see a few
words. Is it already sharp, or do I need to really shave it?
It's sharp enough.
Okay. Now, lower and try and stick it through his chest, I guess. Okay.
Roll healing to make sure you locate the heart.
I also have anatomy too.
Yeah. No problem. No problema. You have spiked him, and theoretically, he will not rise. Okay, so when you spike him, mind you, there's not very much fog in the house, and there is dim light here. When you spike him, his upper torso rises like a nerve spasm, basically. And his head turns, and when his head turns, you hear like a noise. And it looked like he basically was turning to look at you. And then he sags back down. And he's laying there with his eyes open, looking all dead and stuff.
I would have put in the rest of the pool, but you did for the bodies earlier.
Yeah. Only so much we can do.
Have the same for me if it happens.
All right. Armor. Assuming if Herrick will help you, it takes about 2 minutes. Without his help, it'll take closer to 4 minutes.
So I'll give you a hand.
Okay. All right. So you armor up. Meanwhile, you hear horse noises outside and realize that Lucas has returned with at least one horse.
About the time that we're finishing with the armor?
Yes.
I'll head outside.
Okay, can't really see in the fog, but you can see him slightly above the fog, realize he is mounted on top of a horse. Okay. Meanwhile, elsewhere, Astrid and Klum have looked around the area of the well enough to know that the girl is not here.
We should start heading back and let them know we have time to get all of our stuff.
Both of you can roll for surprise.
It's perfectly safe. Roll for surprise.
Surprise.
The vampire.
Oh wait.
D8. Did you roll a one? Oh no, they both are surprised. All right, so one plus your dex bonus is what? What's your dex?
16.
So that's plus one. So that means two. And you rolled a one. Plus one is two. Okay. Okay. So there are two of them, and they have surprised you, and they each have two segments of surprise. So basically, they come bounding out of the fog. The fog shifts across, and you can see pretty well, and then all of a sudden, the fog drifts across, and you can't see again, and seconds later, they leap on you, okay? So they will have two unanswered surprise segments. So we'll do a stirred first, first guy. Okay, you're hit twice. Four, three, and two. Total of five. And also you are knocked prone. And then there's a rake for an additional 7 points. So you are on the ground being mauled by a very nasty, rotten, mauled wolf. Okay. Klum. Jumped also. Hit once for 2 points. Okay. And not knocked down. Second surprise segment. Astrid, you're prone, basically on top of him. Missed hit for 2 points of damage. However, you are already prone, so there is a chance of a rake, which hits with a natural 20. 4 points. So 6 more total. Okay. Klum. Hit twice. Total of 3 points. And you are not knocked out. So you do manage to stand there staggering back under its weight, but it is, and it's kind of on top of you, and you're being gnawed on and scratched up, but not so severely as to be really dying. Some combat music going, don't we? I don't know what music this is, I have no idea. Doesn't sound like the right music. It's the slow motion combat music. Okay. That's true. And then it changes to this. We can mix it in, probably. I feel like I'm mixing things in there. Tried to scare them away, but no. Okay. Surprise segments have ended. You may roll for initiative. Obviously, you did not get your shot before combat, and now you cannot use your bow. One on you, one on you.
How many are there?
There's one on each of you. And one additional joins the combat, which will be on 1 to 3, 4 to 6. Ustard. Death of a thousand cuts. All right. No missile fire. Melee, 9. 8. 7. 6. 5. You're both in 5. You have initiative. Okay. So you have a dog, you're on the ground prone, and you have a dog on top of you.
Dog.
Dog wolf thing.
Oh.
Oh.
This is way better.
Yes, much better. Otherwise, you'd have been rolling for paralysis every time they hit you. Okay. All right, so you're going to try to throw the dog off of you. Roll percentile dice, looking for a high number. He is trying to claw you and bite you while you're trying to do that. Okay, so you push him off of you. I assume your bow is probably still in your hand, and your other hand push him up off of you. As you do so, he bites down on the fingers of your right hand. And so his body starts to fly, but he still has a hold on your hand for a second. And you will take 2 points of damage. No fingers are lost. However, your right hand is impaired. You will not be able to fire your bow with it. Or hold a sword, for that matter. No. He can do his sword in his left hand, and it'll just take a negative. Okay. All right. Anyway, so you did throw him off of you. Once his teeth let go, he flew, and you don't know exactly where because it's far.
Can I get up?
Yeah, so you can spend the rest of the round getting up. Alright? And for that matter, you can get hand axes out. Bear in mind, you really won't be able to hold a hand axe in your right hand. Okay, so you can be standing up and have a hand axe in your hand. If the other dog does not attack you, then in missile fire, you'd be able to throw a hand axe and draw another one. But it depends on whether, because there's one coming yet. Oh, yeah, he is attacking you, so if he doesn't hit you, you'd be able to do that. All right? You had 5 also. Nasty, stinky dog on you. He's not really on top of you. He's, like, leaning against you. All
right, I'll
attack you. Okay. So you have doubled his initiative, so you may attack both times.
So, 18 and
1. The 1 is definitely a miss. The 18 is a hit. Daggers are a d4. That's a d6.
Yes, but it also says next to it, d3 plus 3.
It's probably d4 plus 3.
Well,
yeah.
One's d4 plus 3, one's d3 plus 3.
Yeah, so against large, it goes to d3, but these are small and medium sized, so they're d4. So it's d4 plus 3 damage. Roll a 5. Okay, he is still there. He's going to return fire on you. Claw, hit. Claw, missed. Bite, hit. Okay, the first claw did 2 points. And the bite did 2 points. Okay, and he's still on you, but he is wounded now. You stabbed him moderately well. Okay? The second wolf on you. Claw is a hit. Bite, claw is a miss, so you won't get the rake. Bite is a hit. Claw, 1 point. Bite, 2 points. So he's on you, so you can't throw the hand axe, but you can attack coming this round. Okay? And that ends the round. Roll initiative. Moving quickly, because we're running out of time. It's kind of dog sounds. What are dog sounds? Okay. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. Story has 5. You have a hand axe in hand. You can hit it with a hand axe. You can't throw it. Yeah. Roll the hit. Okay. Five is probably a miss. Let's see. 15 strength. Yeah, 5's a miss. Okay. All right. Roll a d20 real quick, though, for me. Okay. You hear the sounds of the dog that you threw off of you running away. Okay. All right. So we were in 5. Going to initiative 4. Okay. In 4, the one that's still on you, attacks you. Claw, missed. Claw, hit. Bite, missed. Claw, 2 points. Okay? And three. Two. Yeesh. Okay? You have both daggers, and you can attack with both because you have doubled his initiative, because you have a 2 and he has a 1.
Alright.
You'll kill him before he gets to attack.
7 and 13.
13 is a hit for sure. 7. You're what? His level higher?
16.
15. Does it have a Thaco next to the dagger? It might already be in there.
13.
And you rolled a 7?
Yeah.
So that's a miss. So the other one hit. Yep. A little bit of the damage. Okay, so he's dead. He's like caves over off of your daggers. He does not get to attack you because he died. Okay? So that you do hear one still attacking a skirt. That ends the round. Initiative. Alright. So he's maybe 6-8 feet away. However, the only light you have really is your daggers, and it's pretty foggy, so you really can't see him. Like, you see like silhouettes, and you realize he's fighting a dog. They're twisting around and stuff, so you realize what's going on, but you can't tell him from the dog.
Perhaps you'd like to write for Low Moon Adventures. The Prince Albert series on Kindle is a short story series where you can write your own based on our prompts, and donate them or donate half their profit to the ministry.
So missile fire is pretty much out of the question. Melee 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, and 5. So you charge over to help him. Both of you in 5, okay? So the dog goes in 5, so if you can kill him before 5, or before 4, he goes in 4. So, roll the hit, roll your first hit. 15 to hit. That's a miss. Okay, he's still there. Then he is going to claw a stern, and then you can take your second dagger hit. Claw on a stern is a miss. Is it? Okay, he's dead. Alright, so the two of you managed to kill the crazed dog beasts.
Vampire
if you want to
for a wife.
That's a, like that is a come
or undead.
Or undead,
that's true.
Yes. Okay. It is calming. Alright, we're gonna be stopping here shortly. We're 12 minutes past our time. Alright, so the party at the house gathers everything. Heads out to the well. Whether or not you intersected them briefly before they get there is moderately irrelevant at that point. No sign of the girl, except you do think you could track her, probably. Mm-hmm. So if she went back to their hideaway in the hills, then that would make the most sense. Lucas chose to saddle the draft horse. Oh, there is a small chance of turning. Let's see if the heavy horse turns up. It does not. So the missing heavy horse does not turn up. Have a saddled draft horse, which is basically a war horse, but kind of old.
The light horse is gone.
Yep, the only one heavy horse and the draft horse survived. They found the other two dead bodies.
Who's heavy horse? Going back to never having a horse.
Haven't found the heavy horse yet.
They
ran off.
Didn't find the body.
Okay. Is there?
Actually, most knights would take several horses into the field because they were very easily wounded, and then you have to let them heal up.
I believe it, but if I take several horses, I just kill more horses at once.
If you say so.
Well, is there time for
Kylo? Well, this party, we're not adventurous.
Is there time what?
Is there time for three
That's up to the group. It appears as if as long as you remain here in the fog in the vicinity of the village and the graveyard, you may be in danger of these wolves or dogs or whatever they are. But it doesn't seem like you're in any danger for any ghouls, per se.
Three or two. Probably. They moved their numbers for a period of time.
Not for sure.
Anyway, so
they took a couple of us with them. So
Clune was asking about healing. The question is, do you want to try to heal here, or do you want to try to track?
I'd say we need first.
If we're tracking the girl. We track the girl, but we need to leave.
We did. I agree with Lucas.
Roll percent. Roll percentile dice.
And just for information, Miller was likely going to be turning into a vampire. So we dealt with that.
And I assume you left Kelvin's body there as well?
Did we move their bodies?
No, I did not move their bodies. I say that directly to you. No, we did not move their bodies.
It appears as if Miller had already been looted when you found him.
Yeah, I did say he didn't have anything.
He didn't have much luck.
Can we grab Kelvin's stuff?
Well, they left him in the house, and now everybody's
you
at the well.
Back for it? Sure.
Let's just go. Not
he didn't have much that, other than his book would probably worth quite a bit of money.
Yes, it would be worth hundreds of gold pieces.
Yeah.
Not thousands.
Hundreds per spell. Hundreds per spell. He's like, I don't know. Is it worth it?
I'm not motivated by money, so feel free.
Roll
it to 20. I'm trying to think if he had anything important.
Ricky, roll a d20 as well.
That makes all the stats.
Okay. Both of you hear what it sounds like a low-flying bat right, fly from
go.
The vicinity of the graveyard toward the town.
I don't want to hear anything else. I want a small fresh air.
Okay, you hear like
sleep.
It goes by. You don't see it, in the fog. Actually, roll a 50-20 and see if you see it. There's a small chance.
Seven.
You caught a glimpse of it.
Oh, cool. What's the glimpse?
You don't see it.
I guess we're really fine.
It's just the scrounger in me hates to leave stuff behind.
If it's nearly dead, it wants to be safe.
Well, in theory, if that's the vampire's lair, you can always come back for him later. And he'll have Kellum's stuff and his own stuff. Preferably when it's not so stinking foggy and in the middle of the night. Like during the day, when there's a small chance he might be sleeping. All right.
Vampire. If that's actually a vampire, like a full-fledged vampire, he'd be so blown. Vampires are scary.
Yeah, but you're just saying that because they drain 2 levels of every attack.
Weapons to hit.
Which you have.
Fairly potent magical.
I'm saying that because
this party has some fairly potent magical items.
The uprising part.
I have a plus one.
It won't work. It will only work against the living. They don't bleed.
Does it still act as plus 3?
Yes, it would. So yeah. So in that sense, I guess you could use it.
But when the uprising party came up.
If you could get inscribed on the blade. Use against undead only, then you could probably keep it. Or if you get a curse on it that anybody uses it against anything but undead,
it was
turns purple or something like that.
And we were caught off guard.
Yeah, that'd be tough. Alright, anyway, so the party. Did you roll percentile dice?
You didn't say roll percentile
dice. Roll percentile dice. I'm saying it now. Tracking is percentile dice.
Vampires are probably worse.
Again. Roll for
spies. Okay, so you have located what you believe is the young woman's tracks, headed toward the hills due north of the village, and the party can follow them as long as you are successful in keeping them located. So that is where we will leave off, as the low moon outsiders leave the haunted village to go up to the hills where apparently remnants of the village are hiding out.
Why did we come here again?
To find Serena, the gypsy. The gypsy woman who used to be a love interest for Astrid, and her cousin gypped him out of his marriage and membership in the clan. Apparently he lied to Astrid and said they were going to kill him, but he recently found out they weren't going to kill him, but...
Why were they going to kill you? Sorry, why did you think they were to kill you?
Because her cousin came and told him. Lied to him, basically.
The way that it was presented in the flashback was very... It worked out very naturally and made a lot of sense. But it does sound a little ridiculous when you
just... It's not at all uncommon for gypsies to deal extremely harshly with anyone who messes with their women without their permission. Not necessarily death, but certainly bad violence and humiliation.
Just wanted to make sure I understood what I was potentially getting myself into.
Yes.
I am getting myself out of the town.
Yes, the party leaves the town. Theoretically... without any trouble. And you start up into the hills. And the fog is not nearly as bad, and you can begin to see. But it's not time for the sun to come up yet, so it's going to be dark for a while.
I feel like it's been like a full 24 hours of non-stop fighting anything.
Just because it took two sessions.
It's only been two.
Yeah, it's been less than 2 hours, yeah.
Stay tuned for more Lomunian adventures.